Everyone who's made it this far. We've all done the worst kinds of things just to stay alive. But we can still come back. We're not too far gone. We get to come back. I know. We all can change.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to The Walking Dead, a Walking Naked podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly, and together we are the world's greatest mother and son, Wadking. Okay, that's what happens when I get myself too excited. The world's greatest mother and son, Walking Dead podcast duo. Don't you laugh at me, Justin.
Can I keep that in there or not? I don't even know.
The Wadking. Yes. You know, I don't care. Keep it and let's go with it.
All right. We are the number one Wadking Dead podcast.
See,
you're listening to us right now.
Brings it down into just a little smaller segment where we are the number one Wadking Dead podcast.
That's what you get whenever you go on there and you misspell it on a Google search. Then you get us. Exactly. We're the only one. You can't escape it when you misspell Walking Dead and you say Wadking.
Wadking, and there it is.
Yeah, we're number one.
There we are. Oh my God. They weren't lying. They are the number one Wadking.
Oh, good God. Well, we are here tonight to discuss season six, episode 9, No Way Out. This is our full discussion for the episode. We're going to kick this podcast off with our top three moments from episode 9. And as always, it's ladies first. Yes. And by the way, I guess I don't even know if we mentioned it in our instant cast that the director of the episode was Greg Nicotero, which I would assume that by now everybody knows that. And Seth Hoffman wrote the episode, which he's written quite a few other Walking Dead episodes that are excellent, excellent episodes. And of course, Greg Nicotero, he has always done a really, really nice job directing Walking Dead
episodes. He does a nice job.
He's okay.
He's okay.
He's got some good days. You know?
Yeah. And some other good days.
Yes. Now, as always, ladies first. So what is number three?
Sometimes it's hard to come up with three favorite things about an episode. This one was really hard for me because there were so many things that I just loved about the episode. So I decided I was kind of going to go sort of for me with a theme, because for me, even with all the stuff that was horrible that went on, this episode for me was about courage. Gabriel's courage that he got from God to save the town, Denise's courage to become their doctor, and the townspeople, their courage to fight for their home. Yeah. So with all those optimistically wonderful things in mind, my number three thing is Gabriel's transformation.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like that a lot because it was on my list, but now I'm going to change it up.
Okay,
with
good.
With my next one at some All point. Right. But so what did like the most about Father Gabriel's transformation?
One, when he grabs the machete, which I thought was so appropriate. That was just so appropriate. You know, because way back in, was it season five? Yeah. Or was it the end of season four that they had tried to teach him how to use a machete? I can't remember which. Anyway, when he grabbed that machete and he says, you know, we've been praying together, praying that God will save our town. Well, our prayers have been answered. God will save Alexandria because God has given us the courage to do it ourselves. And he just had that convinced look.
Yeah, he did. He did. I mean, it was an epic moment. I wrote that exact same quote down because I absolutely loved it. Father Gabriel and also Eugene both stepping up in this episode was excellent. And that red-handled machete, that's the same machete that they tried to teach him with and everything, as well as it was the same one that he
killed my buddy.
Yeah, killed your boyfriend in the zombie apocalypse, Gareth. And when Father Gabriel witnessed that, you know, Rick just slashing the crap out of Gareth, I mean, he was destroyed. I mean, that's the moment where he was like, I'm turning on this group. The second that I get a chance to turncoat. I'm going to stab them right in the back, and which he did when once he got to Alexandria, telling Deanna that, you know, this group's they're poison. They'll ruin everything that you have. So yeah, it was very fitting that he grabbed that red machete to take down the walkers. And I'm glad that Father Gabriel stepped up. He's one of my favorite characters as far as I love the actor.
Yeah.
I love Seth Gillum, and I think that he's got a very interesting story. The fact that he's shown such cowardice in the zombie apocalypse and how much that's had to affect him psychologically being around all these badasses all the time. And you're like the one guy that really brings nothing to the table at all, because most everybody in the zombie apocalypse at this point, they've probably lost faith, right? So his one skill set is, you know, preaching the gospel. And everybody's like, I don't need that, because the devil's running the joint at this point.
And we have seen him lose faith at, you know, when he took the collar off and, you know, he's like, ah, screw God, you know, and then ran and put it back on real quick because he realized that was not the direction to go.
No, but he has smited down.
Exactly. This has been a huge transformation for him. And I liked it, although I will say I didn't want to get into the vote of confidence to put
Judith.
Up underneath his blood tarp. I mean, I didn't like that at all, but I do like that he decided he was going to come out and, you know, fight for the town. So
yeah, no, that was definitely an epic moment. I'm happy, very much so, for Father Gabriel as well as Seth Gillum, because I mean, God, how many times have people probably gave him shit
on
social media about being a coward and an asshole or something along that nature?
We can't seem to distinguish between our characters and our actors for some reason, but I guess that just means they're doing a good job. Okay, so what's your number three?
All right, my number three is Kablamo.
And that's which one?
Yeah, no, there was multiple kablamos in this episode, but my number three is when Daryl blows up Negan's nefarious nut jobs with the RPG. It was such an awesome scene as they just explode all over the place, and then you get the "what a bunch of assholes," and then of course Abraham with his nibble on that. I tweeted out, I believe it was yesterday, today, I don't know, the days run into each other, that I said that I've come to the conclusion that The Walking Dead is like my favorite video game, and I am not the one that gets to hold the controller. And this was one of those moments of like it was straight out of a video game. I mean, he's the way he comes out, and he's holding the RPG, and it's got the smoke coming from behind it. And Daryl kind of gives it a glance like, damn, didn't know it could do that. I mean, it was very much straight from some of my favorite Resident Evil video games, but I didn't care. It was freaking awesome. It was badass. Like, how much fun was that to see those assholes just blow up all over the place? So
it was a good release.
Yes,
for me, because I knew I was holding my breath, because I just knew that, you know, before Sasha and Abe's love could really even go anywhere, they were going to be taken out.
One of them, at least.
I thought it would be more sad. I'm not going to answer that on the grounds it may incriminate me. I'd be more sad.
Which way?
Well, I know. I think I'd be more sad.
You're married to a man, but could it incriminate you for other things?
No, I'm just saying because I like both of the characters. Is all I'm saying. I would be more sad, I think, if it was Abraham. Because I feel like there's still a lot of things that they could do with him
that they have not done. For sure. It is tough for either one of those characters, because I like them a lot, and I definitely like them a lot together. Like you were saying, it would have been very sad had we either lost both of them or lost one of them, because they're definitely clicking on screen together, and it's been a lot of fun to watch over the last couple of episodes as they've gone back and forth with their little, their little love bickering.
Yeah, they were, you know, it's like, I'm talking to the man. No, you're not talking to the man. You know,
yeah, exactly.
Like, I thought they were going to do one of those, like in the buddy cops, you know, how they pretend to argue and then they start wrestling and fighting as a diversion.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I thought was getting ready to happen.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
The whole scene was fun. I really loved that opening scene. I thought it was a really, really cool way to open the show. I thought it was a blast.
That actor that Negan's dude.
Head henchman guy.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was so good.
Yeah, he was. He was really good. I mean, he played that arrogant, smug bad guy really, really well. I mean,
right. In a way that was like, you know, I'm kind of your friend though, and I'm so sorry, you know. Yeah. And he take the guns away from him, and he's kind of like, you know, daintily taking him. I don't know. I just,
like, oh shucks, I got to kill you guys.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, it reminded me of some old Western or something that was kind of a comedy, but
right.
Probably the best comparison would be to something that Quentin Tarantino's done recently. I mean, he seemed like a bad guy that could have been out of Django Unchained or most recent one, Hateful Eight. Just all out terrible guy, but has like a funny sense of humor about him. So, yeah, no, I like that guy a lot. I was kind of sad to see him go, but as I said in the instant cast,
but it was so great.
Real good. So
yeah, he did. He blew up so nicely.
He did.
All right, so my number two. Again, these were hard, but because I went for the whole uplifting thing, my number two is when the town came together to make a stand and not only save Rick, but they ultimately saved themselves by becoming a cohesive unit.
It was very nice to see that. And Rick actually recognized them.
Yes.
For once, which was really good to see.
Instead of him going, I got this.
Yeah.
Get back. You're just going to screw this up.
Get away from them. Let them die.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's his usual MO lately.
Right.
You know, whenever he yelled at Tara in the first half of season six and she flipped him the bird. That was, it was great to see. It was great to see the community coming together. It was awesome seeing them blow all the zombies away with their guns and their knives and everything
and
that they had.
Amazing cardio that they had to have been doing
behind
the scenes.
Exactly. We never see anybody running on a treadmill.
No. My God, those people are in shape.
Yeah, they really are. I will go from here to the kitchen to get more water, and I'm winded.
Please. So. If I could get somebody to do it for me, I will. Exactly. And the thing that worried me so much was, you know, when they're doing all this fighting, and of course, you know, you're backing away constantly from walkers that are coming at you. Well, there's a bazillion of them that are behind you that have already fallen. And, you know, they're so nimble of foot that, you know, they're just dancing around the ones that are on the ground and slashing away. And it was beautiful. It was quite the dance.
It was. I liked how it was reminiscent of the prison scene with just a whole lot more people whenever they had their little phalanx formation. I think that's what it's called, where, you know, everybody kind of has their back and they just they spread out and everything in a circle. So yeah, that scene was badass. I had a lot of fun with it. I had read some people say that it was a little bit unrealistic, and I can kind of get it in the sense that they took on this huge horde that we've never seen the group take on before.
Right.
And in the past, a group of a few walkers could take people down.
Right.
And I mean, that was like an unsurmountable odds if they took on more than 10 walkers or something. That's like whenever, was it in season four, when Glenn and Abraham and Eugene, they were on their way to Washington and they saw that big horde in the middle of the highway or whatever.
When they were busy fighting each other.
Yeah, when they were fighting each other and everything. Mm-hmm. And they were like, ooh, shit. Guess we can't go that way. So it will be interesting to see going forward.
Yes,
how the zombie threat.
Right. How does this affect them? If from now on, are they like, this is a piece of cake?
Yeah.
Less than 1,000. We've got this.
Yeah. No worries. This is a regular jog in the park. So, okay. I'm gonna go. My number two is Michonne. Hopefully, I didn't steal your thunder for your number one, but Michonne was freaking awesome in this episode and all the things that she did. I mean, she saved Rick from Ron, and then she goes all out, just amazing amounts of badassery that she exhibited whenever she was attempting to rescue Carl as she's running in front of Rick and she's just slashing walkers down left and right. That was awesome. So like those two moments were like the badass moments for Michonne, but then she had the nice, sweet side of Michonne as she took Rick's meat poncho off of him in the infirmary.
Oh, my God. I know.
Yes.
I saw that too, and I thought, you know, I kind of was wondering the whole time, as like you said, she went into, you know, just total badass mode. If she's like, Jesse is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
It's me and Rick.
Activate beast mode.
Exactly. I'm gonna save my man.
That's kind of what I'm thinking right now, because not only did she take his meat poncho off, and she did it ever so sweetly, but then she kissed Carl on the forehead.
I know, which was really sweet. But what was really weird about that is, and I don't know if you saw the fact that that was a dummy.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't actually Carl. They, you know, because they made that cast of Chandler Riggs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in the day, the first time Carl got shot in The Walking Dead, he was small enough that, you know, Rick could actually run with him.
Yeah.
Now he's a big boy, so they made a dummy so that he would be lighter. That dummy was so unbelievably lifelike.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really disturbed by it.
It was pretty damn creepy when he kept showing it on the screen on The Talking Dead.
Yeah. I thought it was Carl.
I hope they bring that to future Walker Stalker cons.
Yeah.
I want Chandler Riggs, that's the person sitting next to him is dummy Chandler Riggs going forward.
I know.
With the eye all out and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible.
It was incredible. But yeah, that was very, very sweet. When she kissed him on the head, I was like, ah, they are such a sweet family. And even though I was definitely pro Jesse and pro Rick, I mean, I liked them together. Jesse made Rick happy.
He did. She did. And I guess, and he did as well. I mean,
yeah,
I think they made each other happy for sure, both of them.
And there was a lot of good heat.
Yeah. So. I mean, they had some very passionate kisses
whenever
they were getting it on and everything.
they were getting it on.
Well, I don't think they ever got it on.
I don't think they got it on.
I think that was the real tears from Rick as he was like, damn it, not again. I'm not going to get any booty.
Oh, God, I felt so bad for him.
I did, man, too. He needs some release.
He does. He needs to get lucky, for goodness sakes. But
he does.
Not tonight.
No. He's definitely not getting lucky in this episode with all the death and destruction going on. But, I mean, who knows? Rishon, I was feeling it in this episode. I mean, she came to save the day, in my opinion. And then, you know, not only that, when she kissed Carl on the forehead, but then she goes out. She's the very first one out there to help Rick take on the zombie horde. So,
and she was trying to get out there sooner.
Yeah.
And I loved when Denise says, you know, this is Rick's son we're working on. So to me, the ultimate thing for her was, okay, well, I need to take care of his son. I love him so much.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. So. you know, aren't we bad? This has just turned into a very romantic old podcast.
Hey, it was on Valentine's Day.
Exactly. It was a podcast. I mean, an episode of upliftingness.
Yeah.
You just didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my number one thing that probably I would have to say made me cry harder than anything, so I know you know what it's going to be, that was as Carl was lying there with this bullet hole in his head, his eye missing, and, you know, Rick just breaks down, pleading for Carl to get better so that he can show him this new world that he's finally discovered, that they and all the Alexandrians are one big happy family, and that it could go back to the way things were in a way.
Yeah, in a way.
Back to the old days.
Before we saw kids getting eaten.
Yeah,
you know,
but, you know, I mean,
moms getting eaten, losing an eye.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, okay, before all that, before, you know, like before you had to shoot your mom in the head, before that.
Well, I will say this. This is something I wrote down a couple of weeks ago or something to crush your hopes and dreams. I said that the narrative of The Walking Dead progresses as a function of crushing the character's recollections of simpler and safer times. So, you know, just to keep it on a rosy note.
Thanks. I do know typically in The Walking Dead, if I show anything that looks like hope, it is set a setup for me to have those hopes and dreams immediately dashed.
Yeah.
So I try not to get too excited about anything, but
it was still a touching moment, though.
It was.
There's no doubt about it that was in an episode that was really. I don't know if I'm
bleak.
Gonna get.
Hate. It was very bleak.
It was very bleak, and I don't know if I'm gonna get hatred for this, but I didn't really get that emotional when Jesse and Sam were killed. I don't know if it's because I knew it was coming from the comic books, which sometimes kind of sucks. Like, sometimes I hate that I have read the comics. I've only read them once, all the way through. So a lot of the things I don't remember, smaller things, but of course this is one of the bigger things, and plus. All the Walking Dead fans are going to talk about it on Facebook and Twitter and everything. Oh, well, this happened to Jesse and Sam and Ron and everything. And then it sparks my memory of like, oh, yeah, I remember exactly how this went down.
I think had there not been that tension with Ron and Carl and Ron getting the gun in the first half of the season, we might not have really remembered or thought about the fact that this was probably coming up.
That's
so
true. They definitely played it up quite a bit in the first half of season six. And I wish that it would have meant more for me. But that ending scene, that's definitely the moment where you got emotional in this episode. I got emotional whenever I thought Glenn was going to die, but that was for whole other reasons of the writers just continuing to try and torture me with Glenn's near-death experiences that I wish that they would stop doing. I'm really nervous if they keep doing this because they're eventually going to be like, oh, well, he's lived so many times.
We're fine.
Yeah, and then poof, he's dead. Yeah. So,
let me just ask you this just real quick before you get to your number one. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like Carl getting shot in the eye would have been a better way for us to close off the, you know,
The first half.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. The way that they did these episodes, I mean, that was my only complaint with this mid-season premiere, really, was just some of the weird inconsistencies with the editing and the fact that when you go almost 3 months with a story that ultimately should have been concluded by episode 8, it should have been concluded because this whole storyline of the first 9 episodes was this 2-day or 1-day story arc where they were trying to get all these walkers away from coming towards Alexandria that were in that pit. And so, yeah, it was just a very weird way that they ended the mid-season finale and then kicked off the first like 20 or 25 minutes of this episode, because this episode was, there's a lot of action, but it was still slow. I don't know why I felt that way. I don't know. I've watched it 3 times, and I definitely feel like there was some slow moments to the episode. I think the one that the episode was guilty of the most was that little powwow timeout session that the group took whenever Father Gabriel took Judith off. I don't really think they need that. I think that was probably my one thing where I'm like, why was this in the episode?
Do you mean when they actually stopped?
Yeah, they stopped and they had a chit-chat.
Okay, so what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, there's actually too many walkers. Change of plan.
That was a little bit weird that they put that in the episode, because I think it would have just worked that much better had just, we didn't even need to see that. Father Gabriel goes off. I get why they... Actually, no, I don't even get why they wanted to show us that, because the end moment was Father Gabriel, like, nutting up and being a badass. And because we'd already seen him the first half of season 6 whenever they're leaving out of Jesse and Sam and Ron's house, when he said, I won't turn back no matter what happens. So we already got that emotional, like, gut punch moment of Father Gabriel saying he there's no turning back for him. It was like they had to reemphasize it, and just in case we forgot that he wasn't a complete waste of space.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's definitely weird. I think it would have been way more impactful had you said, like, you know, had they done it like you said, and ended it with either Carl getting shot or Jesse and Sam getting eaten and Ron holding the gun. I wouldn't have liked that.
Right.
I would have rather have seen him get shot, and then, you know, he looks up and he's like, "Dad?"
Dad?
And
yeah, exactly.
Boom, then, fade to black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think it would have worked out well, and I think it would have worked. You know, they could have just had nonstop action. They could have had the scene with Daryl and Abraham and Negan's group still in this episode,
right?
At the opening, like they did, and then it could have just been, you know, the Alexandrians coming together in this episode and trying to take care of Carl. And even Denise and the Walker, like that could have been still a part of this episode. And I think it still would have covered probably 42 minutes just like it normally does. So I don't even know where I'm at. I think I'm at my number one.
Yes.
It's very tough for me. I've got two number ones here.
And you have to pick one.
I know, and I've got to pick one. Okay, I think I'm going to pick this one, even though I don't even know if I have a whole lot to say about it.
Well, that would be fine because you've said a whole lot about everything else.
I have. okay, my number one is Carol's guilt. I think that was one of the most interesting plot aspects of this episode is just, I mean, we're seeing Carol just slowly break down. And it's really sad to see because I happened to go back and I watched the mid-season premiere of season three and the mid-season premiere of season four earlier today before we podcasted. And it's so weird to go back and see Carol in those previous seasons and how she is now. But I think that all of these things that have occurred to her over the last couple of seasons are finally catching up and taking their toll. Because it's not like Carol was always this badass character or that saw a lot of, she saw a lot of misery, obviously, because of Ed, douchebag Ed, that would beat her and stuff. But, I mean, Karen and David, Lizzie, I think to some extent Gareth's mom, even though she had to go. Gareth's mom had to go.
Right.
But the way that she was, you know, pleading to Carol at the end of, like, we weren't always this way.
Right.
And then, of course, Sam, which she doesn't even know about yet. And I think that's going to really affect her.
I think so, too.
And then in the Wolfman in this episode, because you saw when she was on that ledge, and we talked about it in our instant cast a little bit, that she looked a little distraught after she killed him.
Well, she realized she thought she was doing a good thing. And obviously she did. Until she saw that, she wasn't necessarily saving Denise from him, that he might have actually... There might have been just a glimmer of hope that he was trying to be a good guy. So I think that made her feel bad. And I think the whole thing with Sam that's going to make her feel so bad is she didn't want to get close to another child. She didn't... It tears her up too much. And so she pushed him away and pushed him away. And now I think she's going to feel really... She's going to feel awful about it. So...
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the line that Morgan told her, you had a child, right?
Yeah.
A husband. And I definitely think I think you're definitely right that that's going to...
Thanks for bringing that up for me.
Yeah, she's like, God, if I didn't like you any less right now. Yeah. I completely agree. One of our listeners brought up a comment to us. Oh, okay, here it is. Brad, he said... I believe this episode is setting up Carol's death by either a straight-up suicide or a suicidal sacrifice. Her conflict with Morgan caused some doubt in her mind about her shoot first and ask questions later philosophy, and I think Denise will argue that the wolf was changing his ways. I also think that she will find the drawing Sam made of the scenario she used to scare him and will realize how badly that traumatized him. It will push her over the edge. Thanks, Brad, for that comment, because I completely agree that it looks like we are going to get Carol's suicide at some point.
And I hate to bring this part up, but the fact that Andrew Lincoln, I mean, we have already discussed this. There was, I think it was the season finale, the script for that.
Yeah.
He said sickened him, physically sickened him.
Yeah.
And I could see that there's a couple of characters, especially, that he would really hate. I know he loves everybody on the cast, but I would have to think that there's a couple of them that would really, really bother him. And obviously, we know it's not going to be Carl, that Carl's not going to die.
I mean, God, if Carl died, I mean, good Lord.
They really
shoot the kid in the stomach. You shoot the kid in the eye. You kill off his only girlfriend. Actually, excuse me. Never mind. Forget I ever said that. Okay. I guess technically right now, Enid is his somewhat girlfriend.
That's true.
Yeah.
The competition is now gone.
Yeah. Yeah. The competition is definitely now gone.
Yeah.
But I think Brad might be onto something as far as the suicidal sacrifice. Man, that would be brutal.
So that could be the direction it goes. Okay, that's a good thought. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely think that that could be
I know we're talking in riddles, but it's a thing that happens in the comic, and we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to talk about it.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling you, Brad.
All right. Well, that was me too. I'm feeling you as well, Brad. that was our number one and our top three. Well, speaking of Brad's lovely comment that he gave us, I think it's time for us to get into some more listener feedback. Thanks so much for everybody that sent us stuff. You can send us stuff as well. You can go on Gmail. It's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com or Facebook and Twitter. It's thewalkingnaked. Just go like us and follow us. Do all those things. Facebook, I think, is the easiest because it's so much better compiling everybody's comments and stuff than Twitter, when I have to go back through all the mentions and stuff. Sometimes it's difficult. So I apologize if you tweeted us something and I don't get to it. I'm really sorry.
I love Twitter.
I do too. Twitter is my favorite, actually. I like it more than Facebook as a personal thing.
Right. But as far as when you're interacting as, you know, fans together of a show, sometimes on Facebook, you can just interact to the thing that the other person said on this particular post. And so, you know, I mean, it's all good. It's all
do
needed.
Whatever you like.
Exactly. We'll try to find you wherever you're at.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's get to the first comment from Jose. He says, well, now that we know why Chandler Riggs has been keeping his hair so long, epic. Greg Nicotero was the absolute best. I laughed. I cried. My jaw dropped in horror. I jumped out of my seat and I shat my pants.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, Jose, you might need to check that out. You might need to wear some Depends while you're watching the episode. Just kidding. He didn't actually say that.
Well, okay, so I'm really but Jose, and it was really me.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly. I really shat my pants. No, he just said, I was filled with pride. I can't even express how incredible this episode was. Love it. So that's a really nice message. And then we see one from Dana. I loved it. This made up for the earlier episodes that were bordering on so-so. This is one of my all-time favorites. That's very nice. And then
high praise, definitely.
Very high praise. Mm-hmm. Kimberly says, best episode ever. I'm okay with the losses this week.
Another Rishon fan.
She's a Rishon shipper, I think.
Yep.
So, all right. You've watched the episode multiple times since our instant cast.
Yeah.
Is it the best episode ever of The Walking Dead?
Okay, I definitely was leaning that way with the first viewing. With subsequent viewings, I'm not sure that I feel as strongly about it, but I still feel like it is definitely one of the strongest episodes. What about you?
I was talking to my girlfriend about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me, this is one of the best episodes as far as all out action. There was lots of really cool action, even though earlier I said there were some slow moments, but there was a lot of action in this episode. And it was, I referenced video games earlier. This was literally like a video game episode for me. I mean, there was just shit blowing up everywhere, thousands of walkers getting their heads lopped off, improbable situations that people got out of. That would happen in a video game.
That's why we play them.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we play them. We love them. And we, you know, every once in a while with the video game, you do get this amazing, amazing story that just hits you in all the right feels. And
yeah,
you know, you're just an emotional wreck after you play it/watch it. Because with the example of The Last of Us, it is a video game, but it's more of a cinematic video game. It's a very linear story where you're going from A to B to C, as opposed to some games like Fallout, which do have a storyline, but it's a sandbox. You can go do whatever you want with that storyline. You can play these little side missions and get all sorts of other backstory. But for me, this episode, it was one of the best when I initially watched it. And I still think it's one of the better Walking Dead episodes that we've gotten. But I went back and I watched last season's mid-season premiere, which was season 5, episode 9, What's Happening and What's Going On, I think was the episode title.
The oddest title in the history of The Walking Dead.
Yes, exactly. And man, I think that episode, along with the pilot, may be my favorite episodes I've ever seen of The Walking Dead. Like, I mean,
seriously,
go back and watch that episode, and I honestly would, if I'm looking at episodes that I would point out to a person, an alien from another planet landed on Earth and was like, what TV shows do I watch? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, you need to watch The Walking Dead. Well, what episodes do I watch? Do I watch from the beginning? Do I need to, you know, which, granted, I do think you need to obviously watch from the beginning to get the full impact of season 5, episode 9. But even if you had never heard of these characters before, never seen these characters before, and it was your first introduction, I think they did such an amazing story or amazing job of telling the story in that one episode. I almost feel like you could get the story of Tyrese. It was all completely self-contained in that one episode because of how they had all of these characters that have died in the past.
Right, right.
Telling the little bits and pieces of Tyrese's faults, which was so cool to see.
Well, and plus for you, I mean, you know, it was another appearance of the governor, which always super excited about those.
One of his best appearances, too.
Yeah, that was just so good. It was a great episode. I have a real hard time with something that I like picking a best.
Yes.
So yeah, it's always, I'm really good at this is the greatest thing ever. And then I get the next week. And this is
the greatest thing ever.
So yeah, I'm kind of that way. But I did. I mean, I loved the episode. I thought it was great.
It was a lot of fun for me as well. I had a blast watching this episode. I'm telling you, go watch season 3, episode 9. Season 4, episode 9, that mid-season premiere was not as strong.
The Suicide King, that one was just too horrible.
Yeah, the Suicide King was, that was a crazy episode, but I'm telling you, What's Happening, What's Going On,
It was great.
It's going to be tough to top that as far as a mid-season premiere. So feel free to let us know, do you feel the same way? Have you, go back and watch that episode if you don't feel the same way, and talk to me.
All right, about which one again? Are you saying for sure to go watch?
What's Happening and What's Going On.
What's Going On, all right.
Yeah, you don't even need to watch the episodes that came before it. It doesn't matter. That one episode, it has such a nice self-contained narrative that it's amazing. Greg Nicotero, that was just a masterful job by him directing that episode. Like, good guy. It gave me chills. I got chills today while I was watching it. So,
well, and that was the thing about this episode. When I was watching it for the first run through of it, I mean, I literally broke down and cried a lot, and not just for reasons that you would think, like, you know, little kids dying. And I mean, I was in tears a lot just because the episode was so intense. I don't know if it was just so overwhelming to me that I'm, you know, like, I can't handle it, you know, that kind of, but I did, I cried a lot. And then of course, you know, Rick's speech at the end, just to see how far he's come, hopefully. And you never know with our Ricky, if he's actually going to stay in a sane place or not. But yeah, that speech at the end really got me. So.
Yeah, that was a powerful speech. There's no doubt about that. That was the point in the episode where it did hit me in all the right feels. So I will agree with you. Let's get to two more comments. Lincoln's Finger, she says, Justin! I think that was, she's either yelling at me or trying to contain herself. I'm not sure with all the comments that she wanted to say. She said, I love the episode so much. It's no secret that I wasn't a fan of the front half of the season, but this one episode made up for 6A. I think that's like a consensus, it seems like, that a lot of people were really unhappy with the first half of season 6, but everybody's like, forget it. This is the best thing ever. Who cares about the first half of season 6? She, of course, said that there was a couple of some minor flaws. I think a lot of the things that we pointed out earlier as far as the minor inconsistencies with the night and day you know, just those timing issues. But her biggest irritation is that Daryl Dixon saves the day not once, but twice. It's not a secret that I'm an Abe fan, but God damn it, that was Abe's RPG, and it should have been him who fired it.
I mean, I think probably Abe would say that he was glad that Daryl did go ahead and fire it because he was getting ready to be dead.
That's a valid point.
You know, and then he ran up to him and yanked it out of Daryl's arms. They didn't show that part.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
give him my gun.
That's my gun.
This is my blow up RPG gun.
Yeah. So yeah, they cut that part out. So
I mean, he did get to say nibble on that.
He still had the good lines.
Yeah, exactly. He still had the best lines. I mean, who's Negan? I mean, he gets the best lines. He does not get the best guns, apparently. Even though I guess later on he got to shoot that, whatever it was, some kind of machine gun. I'm not a gun expert, so.
The one that has bullets that hone in.
Exactly.
On walkers' heads, but yes. Not live people's heads.
No, I mean, we've played enough video games to realize it's kind of hard to get headshots.
Yes,
there's a reason why you get like double XP whenever you hit somebody in the head.
Exactly.
But old Abraham and Sasha.
They're better at it than we are.
Yeah, they are marksmen, apparently. Mm-hmm. So, okay, one other comment, and this is just kind of talking about an article that we posted. The article was entitled "A Link Between Daryl and Negan That Viewers Missed in the Walking Dead Mid-Season Premiere." And what this was a viewer noticed that when Daryl blew up the biker gang, that there was a car. And damn, I don't know how many, I have no clue how this viewer noticed this because I had to be told that there was a car. And then I had to watch the video like 5 times before I saw this little image of a car. And Tina says, because people are thinking that it may be Negan that is in this car, Tina says, this worries me. But as I've said before, someone will get it. I completely missed the car. Watched 3 times. I feel you, Tina. It's possible that it was an oopsie, but jeesh. I'm thinking if it was Negan, and what I know about him, wouldn't he have gone after them? Just a thought.
I think it was an oops.
I think it was an oops as well.
Because I've gone to their set and tried to peek around the corners as much as possible. So, you know, it could happen, even though they're really, really good about making it not happen. But I swear to you, I meant to take a picture, and I'll go back and take the picture in the wooded area. I swear there's a man up in a tree.
What? Man, how are you freaking eagle-eyed hawk seeing these
because
things?
I was eagle-eyeing for that car that was supposed to be there, which I eventually, you know, saw off in the distance. But at the time, I didn't know exactly what they were talking about. I was actually watching it during the scene. And I'm like, there's a dude in the tree. Up in the tree.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's not like just standing there in, you know, regular street clothes or anything. He's, I could easily see it being a member of the crew. Being up in the tree for some reason.
He's trying to get the very best shot, but then he happens to get in the shot.
Exactly. So, anyway.
Yeah, these things happen. I don't think that it was Negan. The major reason why I don't think that it was Negan is just because it was so hard to see. Now, it could have been an Easter egg, and kudos to whoever was like, let's put a car in there and let's see who catches it. Because it was very tough to see. I don't, even if it is a car that was meant to be in the shot, I do not think that it was Negan. I think it'll be one of his lackeys, because Personally, I don't think Negan goes out on his own. Negan's the type of dude that rolls deep whenever he goes out, and he will have like a whole crew with him at all times to protect him. But, and I said that was our last listener feedback, but I had one more from Twitter, and it kind of relates to this. Cameron says, he said the podcast was great. Thank you, Cameron. We really appreciate that. That's the real reason why I wrote this.
Exactly.
Build our confidence up. We need it sometimes, people. But he says, do you think Dwight goes back and tells Negan about the group? He knows the tanker. Because, I mean, we know that the Lake of Fire exploded real big.
Yeah.
And well, lots of people are going to see that. And Dwight and his little girlfriend are out there on Daryl's motorcycle roaming around.
Well, and Dwight and his girlfriend were the one that taught Daryl the trick to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they'll see it and go, oh, yeah. That's a dude. We told this dude about this. Yeah.
He learned real good.
Yeah. That's, oh, my God. It's so bad. Because we're not talking about Norman Reedus. We are talking about Daryl Dixon. And so that was my first thought. He learned real good.
We are from the South.
You know, exactly. So that's what I'm thinking. Okay, when we're talking about him, when we're talking about Daryl, that's, anyway.
Yeah, he learned real good.
He did. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for the feedback and everything. Feel free, send us as much of it as you want. I thought, I have so many of them. I had some from our Gmail.
Well, we can always get to them next week.
No, we got to it.
Okay.
We covered it with our top three. You can email us. It's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com. You can tweet at us and like us on Facebook. It's The Walking Naked on both of those. And I think that wraps it up for No Way Out.
One other thing.
What's that?
If you can go and write a review, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. On iTunes or Stitcher?
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
I mean, it's still the week of love, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though a lot of people died in The Walking Dead, but still, it was Valentine's Day, still.
Yes. So. We'll see if we get any love.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening. Hope everybody has a fantastic rest of your week.
Bye-bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Well, I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need. Dollar, that's what I need. And if I share with you my story, would you share your dollar with me? Bad times are coming and I reap what I done sowed. Hey, hey. Well, let me tell you something.